This is Jessica Chobot, and you're listening to the Rated NA podcast at nerdappropriate.com.
Welcome to episode 146 of the Rated NA podcast. We have a special episode today. We're actually joined by Jessica Chobot, who was one of our first early print interviews, who's finally on the show to come hang out with us. And it's just myself, Ash, and Scott is here today.
Heyo. What's up?
What's up, Scott?
How's it going?
It's going well. I'm tired today, man. I'm a little sleepy. I've had this strange kind of like coffee cough thing going on. I need to get rid of it before PAX approaches because I don't want to be patient zero again.
You can't have the pox before PAX.
I know. I've been eating all sorts of chemicals and stuff to get better.
I was really tired today too. I was actually stayed home like sick today, basically. And I made it to level 50 in Titanfall.
There you go.
Just in time to get that achievement. So I regen.
It's a good time to be sick.
Yeah.
Would you say that you had the Titanfall sickness?
Yeah, I had the Titanfall drops.
I'll make up
some weird disease. I don't know.
That sounds a little bit like dysentery to me.
Maybe. I don't know.
I got the Titanfall drops.
We'll leave it to the imagination of our
listeners. Those really bad the day after the game came out.
Titanfall drops.
Yeah. For like a good, I don't know, 6 or 7 hours.
Well, there you go.
Constant Titanfall drops.
Let's do the rundown.
So what are we doing on the show today?
Right. So we have our interview with Jessica Chobot, which is actually awesome. We actually did just talk to her. We're doing things sort of out of order just to show you how the sausage gets made a little bit. But it's like her story is like a story of perseverance, and I really like that, and it's really awesome. So
no, it's cool. We love, you know, part of what we do in the podcast is hearing, you know, how creative people got started, and she has one of the coolest origin stories because it's sort of a pick yourself up and dust yourself off story, and I love those. Because, you know, one thing in life that I really love hearing from our guests is some of them have to overcome incredible challenges and incredible hurdles in order to get where they are. And it's just neat to see and hear, you know, from the people themselves how they did it. So she has a really cool story. You'll like it. And she, of course, is hosting Nerdist News now. And she's also she wrote a game called Daylight, which is about to come out at the end of the month. So she's got a lot going on, which is cool, which you'll hear about in the interview.
Absolutely. And this episode is brought to you by Audible. Audible.com is the premier provider of digital audiobooks. They have over 150,000 titles to choose from in every genre: romance, comedy, business, thrillers, more, my favorite genre.
Mm-hmm.
You can play your Audible titles on iPhone, Kindle, Android, and more than 500 devices for listening anytime, anywhere. And you can support us in getting a free audiobook for yourself by going to www.audibletrial.com/ratedNA. Get a free audiobook download and help with the podcast. And we appreciate Audible for their support and your support as well.
Yeah, it's awesome. So definitely get a free book. Why not?
Yeah. So Ash, briefly, I mean, before we go to the interview, what's going on, man?
I'm getting ready for PAX. So, you know, starting to do setting up appointments and doing all that fun stuff.
We're getting a lot of emails now. They're coming in much faster.
It's always fun. It's neat. You know, when you get to be, you know, I'm using finger quotes here, press for these things. Mm-hmm. You get emails from different companies and you set up appointments to go see them. And it's really exciting because you know, you get to talk to all these developers and all these creatives that you really admire. And you also get to see and see things that you probably wouldn't normally get to see. So that to me is really exciting. And that's coming up very soon. So I'm kind of, you know, in this nervous state prior to PAX and trying to get everything all set. Other than that, what I've been playing, I played more Out There, and you know, we've been talking about that for weeks, so I'm not going to talk about that more, but it's still great.
Mm-hmm. Those folks will be out there at PAX.
They will. They'll be at PAX.
I hope we get to talk to them.
And I played the heck out of Titanfall. I'm still loving it. It's still so much fun. I'm only Gen 2 now, but I like, you know, prestiging in that game. If for some reason it's forcing me to use different guns and different builds that I wasn't using the first time around.
Yeah.
And there's just so much variety. You can kind of kit yourself out any way that you want. So I'm really liking that. And let's say other than that, what did I start? I watched the pilot, The Arrow, which was actually pretty good. I liked it. Yeah. Okay. I was actually pretty impressed with that. And other than that, man, I've just been super busy with work. What about yourself?
I've been I played Titanfall, like you said.
Yeah.
I'm also playing the Zelda 3DS title, which is phenomenal, of course.
Nice.
I'm catching up on Star Wars The Clone Wars, not because it's on Netflix now, but just because I remembered that the Blu-rays are sitting on my shelf and I just need to watch them. So
nice.
I'm almost through season 4, and then I have season 5 on Blu-ray, and then I'll pick up the final episodes on Netflix, so I'm excited about that. Watching the Cosmos. Have we even talked about the Cosmos yet on this show?
Not really. I think we need to devote an episode to it.
I think we will. I mean, it's phenomenal. If you'd ever watched the original Carl Sagan version, it's magical in so many different ways, and it's got an amazing 70s aesthetic, and they kind of bring some of that forward into the new Cosmos with Neil deGrasse Tyson. And I think a lot of people would be surprised to know that it's executive produced by Seth MacFarlane, you know, from Family Guy. So,
oh yeah.
Yeah.
And not all just dick jokes. There's more there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if anyone's going to be able to bring back some of the classics, it's going to be him. So I think it's cool that he's a part of that. And it's a good series. It's been like 3 or 4 episodes and they're pretty good. So
awesome. Awesome.
Yeah. My wife and I are enjoying that. So I think in a nutshell, that's pretty much it. Just been working otherwise. Busy times, man.
Busy times. Well, Let's go ahead and let the listeners listen to this chat with Jessica Chobot. And we talk about, you know, a lot of Mass Effect stuff, too, for our Mass Effect fans. And then we'll be back and wrap stuff up. Okay, so we're here with the one and only Jessica Chobot, who's host of the Nerdist News and writer of Zombie Studio Daylight. Welcome, Jessica.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Welcome. Thanks for coming. This kind of came out of the blue. We had run a print interview with you, like, I want to say in 2011 or something crazy like that. You were one of our first big printer interviews, so it's cool to actually have you on and chat with you for a bit. So how's it going? How's everything been?
Oh, it's good. It's crazy, but it's good. And it's just it's kind of like personal life and work life, like nothing is slowing down, and I'm absolutely exhausted, but very, very happy and satisfied.
Yeah, exhausted can be good. So you just got back from the Call of Duty World Championships, right? I think I just saw that you were there. How was that? What is that like? Is it like a total testosterone fest, or is it?
Not really. I mean, you know, it's like any other kind of gaming event that you've been to, in the sense that, you know, obviously there's more guys there than women, but I wouldn't say that it's like a testosterone fest. Like, I mean, when I think of testosterone fest, I think of, you know, like Affliction t-shirts, and it definitely was not that. And it had a pretty decent turnout, you know. It was just a really, the stage looked great. You know, I mean, I was working most of the time, so I didn't get to wander around too much, but I got to catch the matches, and especially the finale, the final one. And it's really, really cool. You know, I've been doing more and more of these, of hosting these esports events, and I'm learning as I go along. I've done actually Halo, Battlefield, and Call of Duty now, and each time I go, I have more and more fun. You know, I've become pretty decent friends with the shoutcasters now.
Yeah.
You know, I'm starting to see a lot of the same people that are, you know, fans, and also obviously the players. And mm-hmm. so it's just nice to kind of be in that world and kind of see how they do things and how they're growing.
It's
super big.
Ridiculous.
And it's really well done, really well put on. The fan base is just ridiculously enthusiastic. And, you know, like now that I've actually, especially with the Call of Duty guys, because for the final, I was watching Complexity, and Envious was starting to get kind of close to getting a chance mm-hmm. at the title again as they were battling it out, and I literally watched complexity, because I guess I should have started backed up and started over, but with the story. But you know, I automatically assume going there mm-hmm. that everybody's playing their A game, you know. And if they mm-hmm. don't, it's not because they're not no good. It's just mm-hmm. because they just happen to have a bad day that day. But everybody's trying their damnedest, like straight out the gate. You know, nobody's holding back. And I literally, not that complexity was holding back, but I literally could watch them ratchet their game up, their like skill level up. Like they were playing really, really well.
Like really tactical.
Then,
that's
yeah,
amazing.
And
that's
then
really
Envious
cool.
got kind of close to tying it up. And all of a sudden, complexity just you literally could just watch their game improve by, you know, like massive increments. And
yeah, yeah.
That was really surprising to me, and that kind of gave me the heads up that, wow, these kids spend a lot of time training for this stuff,
they're
like really,
good.
Really good.
That's my problem with competitive thing. Playing competitively online is I just
you don't have the time.
I can't ever get that good. Even if it's like Street Fighter or Call of Duty, I just never get to that level. So
I think you could if you had the time
and
the patience. For me, yeah, neither of those things. Yeah. I've never been blessed with either of them, you know. And
I have slow hands too. Slow hands is a curse.
Actually, I was talking to Golden Boy about what he thought some cool little tips and tricks are for people that are trying to get in competitive gaming, and he had a mm-hmm. whole bunch of great advice, but the thing that stuck out to me, which also kind of reminded me as to why I suck at competitive gaming, and not only just gaming, but specifically shooters, how I'm really bad at them, is that it helps to think three-dimensionally instead of like one-dimensionally. And by that, he means like think tactically, I guess, if that's a word, mm-hmm. and you know, like kind of try to put an image in your mind about where you are on the map and who would be around you versus myself, who would be thinking like one-dimensionally and would just be running and gunning and shooting and not paying attention to anything.
It's actually really good advice. Like rather than pretending you're seeing through the eyes of like, you know, or through down the barrel of the gun, actually thinking about what's going on around you all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
I always tend to look at the damn mini map all the time.
I
find myself like focusing on the mini map and not paying attention to what's going on.
I always think about what the other person would be doing and what I would do, you know, to interact with what they're doing. Yeah. Something like that.
So what are you playing right now? Because I saw the other day you were streaming some Dragon Age, but what are you playing in your free time if you actually have any of that left anymore?
I do have some free time, but it's pretty few and far between. So I definitely, my gaming has taken a massive, massive hit, like no lie there. But when I can, I play, you know, well, right now, since there's not a whole bunch of stuff out for the new console that is kind of my bread and butter, I kind of have been replaying some of the classics. And so I did the Dragon Age Origins. I had that up on, I've been playing a lot of PC Steam downloads. And
nice.
I had that up there. I downloaded and started playing Skyrim on the PC and like got a bunch of mods, and I'm trying out some mods.
I got so addicted to Skyrim.
Oh my God. I love that game. It's still, in my opinion, I mean, I shouldn't even say it's still. It is, in my opinion, the best game that came out for this last gen.
Oh, it's incredible. My wife almost left me though, because I wanted to do everything in that game. So I was like trying to finish like every quest, and I went a little bit bonkers because I honestly was just so addicted and so enthralled by that world they had made.
It's amazing.
Oh, it's just great.
And it's beautiful. And like the mods now that I know how, you know, like now that I've spent the time and gotten them all loaded up and go through them and stuff. I mean, they just fine tune everything. Like even if you don't even do any of the additional content stuff that people create, if you just do like filters and things like that and like
texture shading and stuff.
Texturizers and shading mm-hmm. and lighting and all that jazz. I mean, all of a sudden you're looking at a whole different world that's, you know, because Skyrim is already impressive in and of itself.
Yeah.
And then if you're playing on the 360, it's beautiful. And then you go on the PC, it's even more beautiful. And then you go on the PC with all these textures and lighting and whatever mods upload to it. And it's like, oh my God.
Yeah, it is impressive. My computer right now isn't powerful enough to actually run it with all those bells and whistles. But I'm
yeah, no,
so tempted to upgrade for Elder Scrolls Online. Are you going to do that, you think?
Oh, yeah. I actually have been playing part of the beta for ESO.
What race and class did you do?
I was definitely a mage.
That's so much fun to play in that world. They have the best stuff.
Well, and it's always my default, too. And in fact, for Skyrim now, when I restarted doing the PC one and I had to roll a new character, I was like, okay, I'm not going to do mage class. I always default to mage class. I'm going to do, you know, one-hand sword. I'm gonna go in with a one-hand sword and eventually grab a shield and, you know, build that up.
Yeah, yeah.
Like warrior style.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun.
And then you start in and then you're like, well, one health spell won't kill me.
Exactly,
and then you're
right.
Like, oh, well, I really do like fire, and this book is just laying here. All it takes is me to read it. And then you're like, well, you know, if I got that ice, I could slow those guys down and then hit them with my sword and probably build up my sword, you know, even faster. So, you know, and then all of a sudden, before you know it, you're going to the fucking college.
It's the exact same thing that happened to me. I started off being a warrior.
I have the same character again.
You can't help it. Those spells are just too good.
Yeah.
So you've told this story a million times in the media, and I apologize kind of for asking it, but it's such a good story. And I think it's so cool because everybody that we have on has a different origin story. And yours is one of the most unique and one of the most fun. And we ran our print interview with you. You touched on it as well. But in just, you know, a paragraph or two, how the heck did you stumble into this industry? Because it is, I know the answer, but I want our listeners to know because it is really cool. And it kind of gives people a glimmer of hope.
Yeah, no worries. Well, you know, I'll try to make it the short version because it can get kind of lengthy. But I was basically in Michigan having a quarter-life crisis. I was about 25, 26. I was in a marriage that sucked, you know, not because we hated each other, but we just shouldn't have gotten married. It wasn't anything bad. And you know, I had pissed away all these opportunities to do some really cool things with my life. You know, right out of college, I moved right back to Michigan. I probably should have stayed where I was and tried to, you know, hammer something out there. Well, I came back home, and then I had the opportunity to move and teach English in Japan with this thing called the JET program, but I got engaged instead, and so I was married, and I was going back to school again, and there was a blah, 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 blah. So I wasn't really feeling very accomplished, and I had a little bit of that kind of, like, bitterness that I think a lot of people get when they come out of college and realize, like, the line they've been fed their whole life of, as long as you do well in school, you'll have a job and you'll be successful and you should have kids and have a house, and it's all about that kind of thing. You know, when that kind of blows up in your face, you're just like, what the hell? Like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
So I had to, you know, so I was having this little quarter life crisis. I quit everything. I quit my job. And at the time I was working at a real estate office doing, being basically an office manager.
Okay.
And going to school. And so I quit school for my second degree. And, I ended up getting a job at EB Games. And that was the same time that the PSP had been released or was on pre-order. Mm-hmm. So I snagged one, and to kind of pad my coffers a little bit more than, you know, just working at EB on occasion, I took I'm putting this in air quotes. I took modeling jobs, which were essentially, you know, working at a car show. I mean, it was like basically booth babe work, working at the big one in Detroit, obviously, like the car show, or I hosted stuff for like the Soap Network and, you know, things like that. So during one of these photo shoots, I took my PSP that I had gotten that morning with me, and I, you know, was showing it off during a break. I'm like, this is so cool. This is so cool. I love it. Blah, blah, blah. That's before I realized there were no games for it, but, you know, it's still a really amazing machine. And they took some photos, and I was just goofing around. And one of the photos was me like pretending to lick it, like, ooh, you know, like, thought nothing of it. And then they sent it to me a couple days later, and they're like, this actually turned out really kind of cool. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that actually looks pretty good. And I used it to send to a friend of mine who was into product placement in cars for Ford.
Oh, okay.
Or product placement into the game industry for Ford. And he's like, oh, you should send that to Kotaku. And I'm like, ah, they're never going to care about that. I'm not going to send it to them. He's like, totally send it, totally send it. So I send it into them. And at the same time that that's happening, I decide with a couple friends of mine at that point at EB that we're going to sneak into E3 that year. So we took one of EB Games, like, magazine little, you know, coupon, you know, I don't know what you call them, flyers or whatever.
Yeah.
And scanned the EB Games logo onto some business cards, made up fake business titles for ourselves, took our last pay stub and sent it into E3, and they approved us.
Oh my gosh, wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. And so we went to E3. I mean, they've definitely cracked down on this.
Yeah, now they want like your DNA, and like, it's kind of ridiculous now. Yeah.
But I got lucky because it was just kind of, you know, it was right before they started really getting serious and like trying to change the face of E3,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, they yanked all the fun stuff for a while. And I said, oh, I'm going to make this story short.
It's a great story, though.
Thanks. So that happens. And then, you know, at the same time that that's happening, we're trying to sneak into E3. We get approved. I get back to my computer a couple days later, and Brian Crescente over at Kotaku at the time hit me up, and he's like, this thing's blowing up. Should we do an interview? Do you want to talk to us about it? You know, like, blah, 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 blah. We'll do a follow-up. So I did. And then because of that, G4 saw it, and then G4 asked if I could be on Attack of the Show to do some goofy little taste test thing. And I said, well, that's perfect. I'm going to be in LA anyway for E3. So I went down.
God, I miss Attack of the Show.
Yeah. I miss G4 in general. But yeah. Oh, well. C'est la vie. Life is actually, well, that's a whole separate ball of wax. So I ran into everybody there. They did some show floor interviews. And it was another thing that was kind of the right place at the right time for me was when that whole girl gamer thing was just starting to kind of kick off.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there really was at E3 maybe a handful of women, most of who were probably sales or marketing for these companies, and a small smattering of girlfriends and then other women that were legitimately interested in being there.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't as common as it is now. And, so I was a rarity walking the floor. And so then, you know, that's why people came up to me a bunch and like wanted to do interviews and things of that.
Yeah.
And that's when G4 ran into me again. And we did a little mini interview then. And then we did another one in the studio for Attack. And then IGN saw that. And at the same time, I had actually ran into some people from IGN at that E3, became friends with them. We did an interview with them. And then eventually I told IGN, like, I would like to work with you guys.
Oh,
and
that's awesome.
It, you know, I freelanced for a long time. And by freelance, I mean truly free. You know, happy to work just to do the work and to maybe get a couple games here and there. And kept on pushing and pushing and pushing for them to give me a job. And basically bothered them into giving me a job. And finally they called me one day and said, hey, we have a position open for you to do mobile game reviews. Are you interested? And at the time, mobile game, like smartphones were way...
Oh, the games were terrible back then.
Yeah, there was there was nothing. Smartphones didn't even exist over here. I mean, they kind of existed in Japan, but they didn't even really exist here. And as far as I was aware, there were no talks of having them ever come here soon. You know, the iPhone was like a couple more years out.
Yeah, in the distant future, maybe.
Yeah. So you had Snake and a couple like, you know.
Oh, Snake. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that was it. Like,
that
you know,
was the only Snake game for like so really, long.
Really low-end Bejeweled titles, and that was pretty much it.
Yeah.
And so I said no. There was no way that I was going to spend my time trying to make these terrible games sound interesting. Like, that would fucking suck. And then I hung up, and I realized, oh, what a terrible idea. I should have just said yes to get my foot in the door and then worked my way through. So I called back about 30 minutes later, trying not to look too desperate. And I was like, yeah, you know, I've been giving it some thought. And I've decided I'd like to introduce that conversation about coming down and being an editor for mobile games. And they're like, nope, sorry, the position's gone.
Oh,
it's
shit.
Like, hung up on me. So then I like spent a week in Michigan crying my eyes out thinking, yet again, have I managed to miss the boat and piss away another golden opportunity.
Yeah.
And thought that was it. That was my last chance. I just ruined everything, and I got to just get used to living this suburban lifestyle in Michigan, have my 2.5 kids, and call it quit. So I was pretty depressed. And then at the end of the week, IGN called me back. Somebody else from IGN called me back and said, hey, we're launching a video department and we need a host. Would you be interested in hosting? And I'm like, yep, sounds great. I hate being on camera. I didn't want to be on camera. I wanted to be an editor, but I was not about to tell them that because yeah. I was not going to do this again to myself. And I said, nope, sounds wonderful. I'd love to be in it.
Right. I'll
take anything. And they're like, well, you're going to have to move out here. And I said, yeah, I know. Okay, sign me up. And they're like, yeah, you got a husband. I'm like, yeah, I know. Don't worry about it. And basically then went to my husband and said, listen, we both know this isn't working. You can make me stay here. And, you know, because I'm your wife and it'd be ridiculous,
yeah.
you know, if I just left. I'm like, so, you know, I could stay here, but chances are, let's be honest, we'll probably divorce. Or I can leave. Mm-hmm. Try and start this new life out in California, and you know, we can decide if you want to move out and what we should do. Mm-hmm. And you know, it sounds really weird to say that now, but you got to also remember too that that's right when like the housing market crash was starting. Yeah, yeah. My husband was a real estate agent. I was working in real estate. Oh. So I, you know, we pretty much could see the forest for the trees that not only was our marriage in and of itself kind of not awesome, but now we're going to have the added stress of, you know, no income.
Yeah,
and like struggling while Michigan and the rest of the country starts shutting down. And this was a chance to go out to LA in an industry that wasn't going to be that terribly affected the way yeah. that the housing market was. And so maybe we would have an actual shot.
Yeah, new beginning.
So there was that as well. And it's funny, you know, like everybody thinks, oh, well, she's in LA. It's this, that. It's hunky-dory. Well, for many, many years, I was in massive amounts of debt because of the fact that the market crashed on us so bad. I actually had like to foreclose on a house we owned.
Ooh, that's rough.
Yeah. So I, you know, and then the divorce debt in and of itself, and then my school loans. And so, yeah, I definitely for a long time, even after I moved out to LA, like struggled with, trying to keep up with the bills. But yeah, so I moved out here. He agreed. I moved out here for 4 months. I was out here and we decided, no, this isn't working. We're going to split. So we split very amicably.
That's good.
And from that point on, I've just been doing – I was doing IGN, and then IGN led to G4, and then G4 led to Nerdist. Now it's like Nerdist and freelance stuff. So yeah, it's all kind of worked out.
Let's talk about Nerdist, and then we'll jump on over to Mass Effect. But so Nerdist News has gone daily. Mm-hmm. Whose idea was Nerdist News, and how did they kind of approach you to host this gig? Because first of all, I love it. It's short. It's funny as hell. My favorite part is the unscripted stuff at the end where you guys just goof off.
Yeah, we like doing that.
I absolutely love that. It cracks me up
at the end of every day. We're like, oh, what's our out?
Yeah, right. It's so funny. So how did Nerdist News come about?
Well, I'm not sure whose idea it was over at the office. I'm going to assume it was probably a group idea, like Hardwick and Seth and Mike, because Mike Shaw actually used to work at G4. In fact, there's a decent amount of people from G4 over at Nerdist. And I had worked on Course for the Force with Seth and the Nerdist team last year. And that's when they mentioned they were going to start up a new show. And I pretty much begged him, like, please do not start up the show without reaching out to me first and letting me have a shot at it, because I'd really love to do something like that. And he's like, yeah, yeah. And he's like, yeah, we'll definitely reach out. And then, you know, a couple months passed and I thought they'd forgotten about me. And then out of the blue, I got an email from Seth saying, okay, well, we're ready to shoot. Do you want to come in? Let's try this. And then, so we came in and it worked out great. You know, I mean, it was a perfect fit. All of us, the team gets along awesomely. The vibe reminds me a lot of where I started when I started at IGN like 6-7 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Where it was, you know, Nerdist, it's growing, it's getting bigger and bigger, we've got a lot of talent behind it, but it's still relatively new. And the freedom of that, though, is that there's kind of this Wild West atmosphere where not anything goes, but you can get away with a lot more, and there's more personality, and people are excited, and you know, there isn't a daily grind.
Yeah, yeah. How big is the team? So much fun. How big is the team that does the news every day?
Oh, well, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I mean, there's at least 6 or 7 people.
Yeah, it's like still about very
four
tiny.
Of those. 4 of those people are writers. There's a one camera guy who does audio as well and edits.
Wow.
There's myself. And there's our producer, Mike, our executive producer.
That's awesome.
And that's kind of the jam, you know. And then we get guests, you know, like Malik is now starting to get on camera for Games News. And Dan Casey's starting to get on camera with the pull list on Wednesdays.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so, you know, like we're getting more and more people from the Nerdist behind the scenes involved in front of the camera as well. So yeah. I just think it's like a really fun, I know saying family atmosphere is so cheesy, but like if you've got the most fun, dysfunctional, fun family atmosphere.
you can always tell, like as a viewer, you can tell when the energy is like kind of genuine. Oh. And like you can tell you guys are actually having fun and you're enjoying what you're doing. Like,
oh,
you know,
totally.
you can tell. So it's nice to see. And it's great because it's a quick little blast of news and information. Mm-hmm. And you go over the information that, you know, it's daily. So, I mean, it has to be very fresh. I'm assuming like your writers and your producer have to like be, you know, scanning the internet constantly for new details and new information. And then, you know, putting it out there every morning is probably pretty challenging. But I think it's awesome. It's a nice little fun news blast. And I really enjoy it. It cracks me up. So I think you guys do a great job.
Thank you so much. Yeah, my favorite part about it is the humor. Because, I've done a lot of news shows. I mean, we had IGN Strategize and IGN Daily Fix. And that was always something I've always kind of done.
Uh-huh.
But the one thing that I always was slightly bummed out about while doing those shows was the fact that I didn't really have, it was so quick and so news heavy that there was no real room for my personality.
Mm. Yeah, I think just danced the other day. I don't know what, you like shimmied off camera at the end. I don't know what day that was.
We did it today too.
Oh, you did too?
Yeah, you'll have to check it out.
I will.
But, you know, so this allows me to have a little bit more personality on camera, and it's very telling. Like when we first started, a lot of the comments from people were, "Oh, this is where Jessica Chobot went," and shortly thereafter, they would follow it up with, "Oh, I never knew she would be so fun," or "She seems like she's having a great time," or "Oh, I didn't think that, you know, like her personality is great." And it's like, yeah,
it's got to be hard when people, because if you've been doing something for a long time, when people see you outside of that role, people probably get pretty confused, which is actually a pretty good segue for the Mass Effect conversation I want to have, because first of all, I loved you in Mass Effect 3. I thought it was cool to have you in there. I was glad you were there. I thought it was great. But how excited were you to get approached to be in this franchise? Because if I remember correctly, you were a big Mass Effect fan before you had anything to do with being in Mass Effect, correct?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm a big BioWare fan in general. You know, I mean, my introduction to BioWare happened with Jade Empire, which I
love. Oh, wow. That is a huge fan favorite.
Game.
Yep.
It's a great game. And then after that, I really loved Dragon Age Origins and then Mass Effect and that whole series. And so I was really, really ridiculously stoked when I got that email saying, "Hey, you know, we were wondering if you'd be interested in being kind of like a guest personality character in Mass Effect 3. And I remember opening the email, reading it over like 3 or 4 times.
Like,
to like,
are you
what?
Serious?
What? Are you serious? And then eventually when it sunk in and I checked to make sure it wasn't like a hoax, you know, like
you want me to do what?
The email was legit.
Yeah.
That I was in IGN at the time. I literally jumped out of my desk or off, you know, out of my chair at my desk and started like screaming and running around the office.
Yeah,
like running
ridiculous.
In circles around the office, just like, oh my God.
Oh,
you know,
that's the ultimate honor, just to be, you know, I mean, because
totally,
first of all, that trilogy, let me just gush for a second here. I still consider, I've been playing games for a really long time, but Mass Effect 2 is still one of my favorite games, I think, ever. I mean, there's just something really brilliant about that game and really about that franchise. So for them to ask you to be a part of that universe that they created is just such a huge honor, you know?
Oh, I know. I mean, it's a milestone in video game development, in my opinion.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and it's one of those games that I think in 10, 15 years, like the way that we talk about Street Fighter or the way that we talk about Legend of Zelda, you know, we potentially will be talking about Mass Effect series that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I was hugely, hugely honored and terrified and excited and just stoked. Just so
I bet. I bet you're stoked. So I have to ask you, when you played Mass Effect, who did you romance? Who was your romance in the trilogy? Did you jump around?
Eventually. Well, I tried so hard to get laid and just wasn't happy. The first one was a huge failure. The second one, I figured out what I was supposed to do, but for whatever reason, no one was interested.
Yeah.
The third one, also kind of the same story. Nobody was digging my lines until, including myself.
Oh, you
until
didn't know.
I eventually got Liara.
Oh, here we go.
To chill and to give me the time of day. And I had, what was funny is I had, for all of one and most of two, almost all of two, until you go through the, I'm going to pull a blank, before you go through the...
the relay?
The relay, thank you.
Yeah, at the end. Yeah.
I was like trying to say time warp, and I'm like, that's not right. before you go through the relay, I was romancing Tali really hard, and she was I almost got her. I was really close.
Oh, brutal.
And at the same time... Right before the relay, I was like, you know, all right, I got my shields up to 90%. I'm sure that's fine. You know, I'll probably take a little bit of damage, but it's not going to be like a big deal.
Oh,
it's 90%. Like, I'll lose. It's like getting hit in the bumper. Like, you lose a little bit of your bumper, but it's not making your car undrivable.
Yep, bumpers are for bumping.
Yeah, that's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
I go through the relay, and of course, the whole fucking bottom of my ship explodes. Tali gets sucked out.
No, it's the worst.
She's the only one. Yeah, I was just like, "Oh, are you fucking kidding me? I spent all that time trying to get you in bed, and you're dead. So that's not an option."
It's devastating, and, though, right?
Yeah, it was, and I had to rebuild relationships with everybody. Yeah. I mean, I tried to hit on Jack because I played a female Shepard. I hit on Jack because I figured, well, Jack, you mentioned yourself how you had a relationship with, you know, basically a three-way with one of your roommates and her boyfriend. And I thought, okay, well, you'll be decent. So I started talking to Jack, and then she gives you that like soft emotional Jack line of after you do her story quest. And I was like,
she's damaged
got
goods.
You. Yeah. I'm like, I got you. And I go in for the kill. Nope. Totally denied me. So then I'm like, oh, shit. All right. Well, you know, Garrus and I have been hanging around and been buddies for a long time. He always seems pretty, you know, down for it. So I go over to Garrus and he drops me a hint that about sex. You know, I don't even says something.
Let me help you check the weapon systems.
And I'm like, hey, Garrus, what's up? And I'm like, all right, cool. Are you interested? You want to just relieve some pressure? I think that's literally one of the lines. Like, you want to just relieve some stress?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, no. And I'm like, what the fuck? Okay. And then I skipped the Krogan altogether because that was just weird. And then I went, you know, I tried Samara also at one point. She straight up froze my ass and threw me out of her room. And then I got to – oh, and so I was, like, licking my wounds, and I was coming back, and I happened to go into the lab area to probably upgrade my shields.
Yeah.
And a little bit, but not enough. And what's-his-face was there? Who's – Morden was there. And I was going to go into his speech tree so that I could start, you know, buying what I needed. I click on him to start talking to him, and before I even have the option to say anything to him, he starts saying, you know, you've been visiting me an awful lot lately, and I just got to tell you that if you're doing this to, like, start something, I'm not really interested. I'm like, are you kidding me?
You're shunned. You're pariah.
I was so angry, and so then I was just like, forget it. So then I just started hitting on Liara super, 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 super hard, and she finally
– There you go.
She finally went in for it.
It's hard to resist Liara, though. I think she – for us on the podcast, I think she was our go-to lady.
Yeah, I actually, that's the thing. I was never attracted to Liara.
Oh, you weren't?
No, not really. I just was kind of like, well, yeah, because you're obviously the hot chick. Like,
yeah, that's true.
You know, so that you're going to be, like, I don't want to just, I want somebody that's awesome, not just the hot chick. I mean, not that she's not awesome. I like her. I just was never, it was too obvious that she was going to be one of your romantic options.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was so obvious that I kind of just, it actually turned me off of trying to go after her. Mm-hmm. And then I literally went after her at the last second because she was my only one left.
That's amazing. So did you ever romance yourself, or did you ever watch a video of your character being romanced? Was it weird?
Yes. It was very weird. In fact, watching my character, even just talking to my character, freaked me out.
They mocapped you, right? Didn't they mocap you?
No, it wasn't mocap.
Oh, it wasn't? Okay.
They did a face scan.
Oh, did they? Okay.
But that was it. And I think they just put me, if I remember correctly, kind of just like a standard general body.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't really, if aside from the cutscenes where there's some interaction there, like if you go and visit me in my area of the ship, like there's no real specific.
But how cool is it that you have a fucking area of the ship?
I know. I know. It was in the cargo hold, but I'll take it.
It's all right.
Shit. I'm cool with that.
Exactly. You have an area of the ship.
And a camera, man. That was all I cared about.
Super cool. I can't wait to see like what is next from that franchise, because I know they're working on something. They haven't said really anything what it is
yet. Well, I think what they left and said Shepherd's story is over. I'm sure it'll show up. I'm sure they're aspects of Shepherd will show up here and there as kind of little Easter eggs, but
yeah,
I mean, they've got an entire universe literally to work with. So I think I just can't wait. I think it's going to be amazing. And
I'm
especially
really
with the new systems, a new console, and the way that, you know, everything's working on them and how interactive it is, I think we'll really end up with something just amazeballs. Like I've always said, the one thing I've always wanted, especially with the Xbox, is if I can use my hands or voice command to access that star map on my own,
like
you would as a spaceship, that would be amazing.
That'd be such a good idea. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Or if the ship itself responds to my voice commands.
Oh, it'd be so good. There's so much potential for the new Kinect, because the new Kinect actually works, you know? So,
yeah,
I mean, it's nice to see what I'm really interested to see what they're going to do with it.
Yeah, the Kinect, so far we have both the PS4 and the Xbox One. Oh, and we've got, I'm going to throw it out there, a Wii U.
poor Wii U.
Oh, man. I have had it, I never really used the Kinect. We had a Kinect. I never really used it that much with the 360. But the way that it's been working lately with this Xbox One, it's just amazing.
Yeah.
I like it a lot.
I'm really impressed. I didn't use my 360's Kinect at all that much either, and now I'm using it all the time just to get super lazy and navigate, like, Hulu, go here. And,
It's legitimately helpful for me because every morning I wake up, like, this is my routine. Kid starts crying, I wake up, I go and I make him a bottle, and as I'm carrying him and feeding him, I say, Xbox on, it turns on. I say, go to Blu-ray player, it plays his Blu-ray, and then we sit there and watch, you know, Baby Einstein for about, till he's done eating. And then, you know, then I can change the channels and play with him at the same time. And he actually tries to command the Xbox now by himself. He doesn't speak anything. He just babbles, baby babble.
But tries to control the
Xbox.
But
he knows.
That is so cool.
He'll look right at it and start going, da 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 ba. Yeah. Da, 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 you know,
but look who his parents are.
That's a good point. If this kid isn't in Call of Duty matches in 10, 15 years,
exactly,
we are doing something wrong.
Yeah, for real.
You're doing it with the Project Morpheus, though, this time, you know, with the VR headsets and everything. That's,
gosh, that stuff scares me.
Does it? What do you think?
Oculus. How do I want to put this? The Oculus is cool and it's fun and it's neat to be able to see things in that dimension. I'm sure there's amazing plans created by people much smarter than myself and more creative than myself for gameplay. And when that happens, that'll be awesome. As of right now, it still seems a little sticky to me, the same way that 3D glasses in everyone's homes were going to be.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
So I'm a little hesitant, but, you know, I definitely can see the appeal. And the only other thing that I would say makes me a little bit hesitant, besides the fact that it seems a bit sticky, is when I played it, I also got pretty sick.
Oh, I got super sick for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know how, you know, even with my 3DS, which I love, I don't ever play anything in 3D because I get sick.
Oh, yeah. Really?
So, yeah, it just, I mean, I can last about 5 minutes before my eyes start to hurt. So,
oh, yeah. And you have to hold it a specific way too to get the 3D. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, I think the technology will eventually get there, and I think it'll get there in a way that will make it legitimately worthwhile. I just don't know if that stuff is there yet. From what I've seen of the Oculus, it looks really good, but I think some things need to be fine-tuned.
Yeah.
And once they are, you know, I think there's a 50-50 shot that it'll either take off or it won't.
Well, it's also hard to be in any sort of social situation when you have like a fucking boombox on your head.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you can't hang out with your family or your friends. And you're like, just don't talk to me for a while. I have this giant monstrosity on my head. It kind of alienates you a little bit, but
it's definitely a solo, I think, a solo gaming experience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It'd be great for pornography.
Oh, well, boy.
Yeah, I mean, of course. But it's the thing, like, we saw this in Hackers. Like,
yes.
The dude in Hackers that was chasing after, you know, Angelina Jolie.
His name, The Plague.
Yeah. He had, remember that one scene when he's like playing in his office?
Yes. Yeah, I do remember that. And he was, they walked in on him and he looked very awkward. Yeah.
Oh. And it was like almost the exact same style of headset.
That
the Morpheus looks like.
That movie is so ahead of its time. And I'm so glad you just brought up Hackers. That's like one of our favorite movies on this podcast.
The Planet, man. I love that movie.
We love Hackers.
It's so awful. It's outstanding.
It is. It is amazingly awful. And I want to bring back the everyone on rollerblades with like laptops.
Oh, can we please do that again?
Here's a thing, though. You know what? That soundtrack did not suck. That was great.
Yeah, it was actually pretty good. I think I actually owned it too. I think I was a proud owner of the Hacker soundtrack.
The Mortal Kombat soundtrack, like in the same rotation, those two together were great.
Yeah.
I'm going to toss in another one, although it's a different genre, but The Crow.
Yeah, The Crow.
Oh, of course.
Also another mind-blowing soundtrack.
You know what
everybody
was good?
Should own.
Same era also, the one with Emilio Estevez, Judgment Night.
I didn't hear that one.
Oh,
Judgment Night is a classic because it's all like horrible early 90s hip hop and horrible early 90s metal like mashup. It's like it was a classic, at least in my car when I was that age. But speaking of VR, Scott brought up a good point in our notes here. We got to talk about Daylight before you get out of here because we're really excited for it. For our listeners that don't know exactly what Daylight is or what your role was on the game, just tell them about it briefly, because when I discovered this, I thought it was super cool that you worked on this at all.
Thanks.
And I think it's neat because I just read the other day that isn't it using the new Unreal Engine too?
It is.
Crazy.
And that was the big thing that we were – not only is it using the Unreal Engine, but I also think that it has some integration with Twitch where you can actually live – like it'll ping your friends as to what it is you're doing at the time within the game. Something like that. I'd have to check and see. That was more on the developer side, so I don't know if they've actually worked out, but I'd have to double check and see. But my role in the game is I was the writer for Daylight, the story behind it, the character, you know, the dialogue and all that jazz. And that's not to say like we didn't all work together, because we were, when we started, a team of six.
Yeah,
but and even once Atlas picked us up to publish it, we were still a very, very small team.
Mm-hmm.
But that was my role. I wrote out the history of where you are. I'm trying to figure out how to say this without giving too much away.
No spoilers, yeah.
I'm like
someplace scary. Say someplace scary.
I mean, well, everybody knows you're in a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote the history of the hospital. The land on which the hospital has been built, the history to that, the history of the character, why it is that you are where you are, what, you know, and it's all interconnected. And we actually came up with a pretty amazing, I think, decent background story and concept. So, it's a horror genre. I would call it an explorative point and click. It's very atmospheric.
I love that kind of stuff. That's
me too. It reminds, like, it's like a horrific mist kind of thing.
Oh, that's
really
cool. Where,
Where, at the time when we first started it, it's when Slender Man and Amnesia just come out. And mm-hmm. I've always been a huge, huge horror genre fan, but specifically two horror genre games that focus on kind of more Hitchcock elements.
Okay.
Versus like run and gun spook scares.
Right.
Kind of like where the genre was right then with things like, a Resident Evil, where that where the genre is now. Like, it started a little bit scare with the original, and as it's progressed, it's become kind of more and more of a shooter in a lot of ways. And so I wanted to kind of bring horror back to its roots and have it to be more a little bit of that kind of scary atmospheric vibe a la Amnesia.
Kind of like more like a cerebral or thriller sort of.
Exactly. Well,
you know what's funny when you're mentioning this? We talked about this in the podcast. When I first played Gone Home, I played for like an hour and a half, and I hadn't read any reviews because I was like, I want to go into this fresh. And I was scared shitless playing Gone Home for the first hour and a half because I didn't know what was going to happen. I was turning on all the lights and just like looking around constantly, and everything was just moody. And I was more scared playing that game, and I don't want to spoil it for our listeners that haven't played it yet, than I was playing a modern Resident Evil or anything like that. Because, you know, you see, like, tentacle creatures jump at you 1,000 times. You're just not
– For me, that scary. Was the vibe I got from Dear Esther.
I haven't played that, actually.
Oh, it's very good. It's a quick play. You know, it's very much – like, you're not – there's no – you're not going to be doing anything. You're truly just exploring for the sake of story. And it's great. And it's very creepy and it's very scary. I mean, it's, and then the ending kind of, the one thing about Gone Home that I kind of was like, oh, well, all right, was the fact that I had gone into it thinking it was going, and thinking it was going to be a horror genre game. I got the vibe that it was going to be one from playing the game. And then when I got close to the ending, I actually had pretty much guessed at that point what the ending actually
was.
Yeah,
I think I guessed like about half an hour maybe before it was over. I was like, oh, okay.
But then it kind of bummed me out because by that point, I had worked myself up into such a tizzy about what is it that's going to come get me that when I realized what's going to actually happen, I was kind of disappointed.
Yeah. There was no real...
So I thought that, I thought that I definitely thought that the premise was amazing on it. I really liked, while I was bummed out that I didn't get what I wanted at the ending, I appreciate what they did at the ending because they tricked me, which is really something I wasn't expecting. So like I was butthurt about it, but at the same time I was like, ooh, good one on you guys.
Yeah, it's odd to play a game and then have the genre get switched on you when you're almost done with the game. You're like, oh shit, I wasn't playing that game that I thought I was playing the whole time. I was playing something else.
Exactly.
So it was really cool.
And so that one while I wanted something more because I wanted to have what I wanted to have, at the same time, I'm like, guys, okay, good one on you guys. That was really well played.
Cool.
So anyway, that's the point of Daylight, is that it's kind of going to be more along those lines, those kind of explorative games. Very story driven. There's a little bit of action in there, but it's not going to be it's not the main focus.
Yeah, it's more just about atmosphere and that's awesome. Now, if I read correctly, I think I saw someplace that you kind of based this, you used to run around scary buildings and stuff and kind of be a bit of an urban spelunker when you were a kid. Is that true?
Oh, yeah. There was
that is
place.
So good. My friends and I used to do that. And when I tell people that, they think that we were absolutely crazy, but there were all these old abandoned hotels.
That would be my dream come true.
Oh, yeah. We grew up in South Florida, and it's actually where they filmed Day of the Dead because the downtown area was abandoned. And so we went in all these old hotels all the time. And it would scare the living shit out of me. We'd see the weirdest things in there, you know.
I am glad you brought that up, actually. I always wondered. I had gone to Miami a couple of months, or maybe about a half a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
A while ago, I went to Miami. And so I went down there, and I noticed, like, every block there was an abandoned hotel.
Whoa.
Sorry, that was my phone.
Oh, it's
okay. You found a secret passage.
That is a secret passage.
But that's been something that I thought was a big storm had hit or what had happened. Yeah. Like, why are all these hotels like just gone? And
yeah, that's just good old Florida. We have a lot of things closing down. You talk about the bubble bursting and like the housing market going bad. It hit Florida extra, extra bad. So yeah, there's a lot. But I thought that was really cool because, I always find those stories interesting. And that's cool that you use some of those experiences to kind of influence you in your writing of the game. So
Cool
stuff.
Yeah, there was some cool. Well, Jared, who is my friend that's over at Zombie and the head of the studio, he came to me with the idea of this abandoned place called North Brothers Island. And it literally was almost the exact kind of story that the place that I had grown up by, which was called the Wayne County Correctional Facility, and also we all called it the Sheldon Buildings for short, because it was on this street named Sheldon. We were very creative. And Sheldon Buildings. And then we had a tunnel system running underneath all the buildings and throughout the town. And so I kind of just combined those two things, and the few times that as a kid in high school I had gone and explored these buildings. And, you know, I still do it now. Like, when we went with Polygon for the Polygon interview we did in regards to, like, what I was doing after Baby at Daylight, we went and took everybody, and we found the Los Angeles tunnels underneath the city.
No way. You went with the Polygon guys into those tunnels? That's incredible.
Yeah. And it was awesome. And, I mean, there's nothing there. They're just tunnels.
But, it's still scary as hell. There's something about it.
Yeah, it's so cool. And there's this great website. So my big thing is there's all these really awesome abandoned towns and weird buildings and haunted, you know, places in and around where I live here in L.A. And I am going to go hit up every one of them. In fact, I'm trying to get one of my friends over at Nerdist to go with me to this place.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Enchanted Forest in Pasadena.
I think I've actually heard of this.
I know. I totally
heard of Enchanted Forest.
I'm going to try and go there.
That's so awesome. That's so cool that you're still into it. So we're going to start wrapping things up. We did our print interview with you many years ago. We have a signature question. The question was, what's your secret nerdy hobby or passion? Do you remember what your answer was? Because it was actually pretty fun.
I'm going to guess that I probably said K-dramas.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what you said. That is amazing that you remember that.
Yeah, and I still watch them.
Do you really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Are they on in L.A. a lot? Like, are they actually airing?
I actually watch them online. Crunchyroll has some of them available, but there's actually an app and a site called Drama Fever, which almost exclusively focuses on K-dramas and Latin dramas. And Drama Fever has such a larger selection, and they update their site a little faster for it. So I just go to them now, and I just watch. Like, I'll get hooked and watch one obsessively.
Awesome. So is that still your answer for your secret nerdy hobby or passion? I can't.
Yeah, you know, I think it is. It's still
that's a good
it's
answer.
Still,
it's a good
still
one.
It's the one that survived the longest. Like, I go through phases where I'll get really into something for, like, however many years. But eventually, I find that it starts cycling itself around, and so I get kind of turned off. But for whatever reason, even with the storylines being usually the same storyline, just different people, I just can't get enough of the K-dramas. I always end up going back to it. And then I guess my other nerdy hobby, which I never really thought of it as a nerdy hobby, but I suppose it fits into that mix. Is the fact that I'm so obsessed with, like, hauntings and weird stuff and conspiracy theories and all that jazz. So I guess I'd toss that into the mix as well.
Excellent, excellent. Well, we're almost out of time, and I know you have to take off. So where are you available on the internet for people to find?
You can always look for Nerdist News with Jessica Chobot. That'll always pop up on YouTube and at Nerdist.com. And, you know, for the other stuff, like all my freelance stuff, it's kind of here and there, but usually it's for Microsoft, and you can usually find that. Like, right now, Call of Duty's on the dashboard, and I know that they're going to be eventually having it on demand. Mm-hmm. And, you can kind of, you know, and when they live stream it, find me on their live streams as well. And then I also do this thing just for fun. It's not ever... There's not a regular set time for it, but I have a Twitch channel that I hop onto every once in a while called Pinkies Up, named after the fact that I usually am drinking a glass of wine while we're playing, glasses of wine. So, by all means, feel free. Like, I usually tweet out when I'm about to be on there, and so if you want to come watch us play some crazy games like Dragon Age Origins or Stanley Parable or Gone Home or whatever. It's kind of whatever I feel like that day. And then we hang out and just chit chat and play.
Cool, cool. And your Twitter is just at Jessica Chobot, correct?
Yes. Excellent. Twitter is, well, at Jessica underscore Chobot.
Underscore, there we go. Excellent. Thank you for correcting me. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming and hanging out. It's been a long time coming, and we really appreciate it. That's awesome. You're incredibly busy, so.
Oh, no problem. My pleasure.
Yeah, awesome, awesome. Okay, so that was our chat with Jessica Chobot, who is just awesome. She's just awesome. She was a great guest, and she was, you know, very, very open. I love when guests come on and they're just like, just tell their damn story, and it's a good story.
It's like we were talking to a friend about just like about games and stuff, about like hanging out, like doing creepy stuff.
And I had only really run into her a couple times on like con floors, and she, you know, she was always really super cool to me. Just by me saying, yeah, you know, I see you on the TV, and you know, but she was she's always very, very nice, and it was cool to have her on. And she's really busy, so it was nice of her to you know, donate her time to us. You know, other stuff, definitely keep an eye out for Daylight. Even if you're just eager to check out that new Unreal Engine, it's gonna be one of the first games that actually utilizes that engine, so check it out. It's gonna be pretty nice to look at. And tune into Nerdist News, because Nerdist News, I genuinely do think it's a great little news show. A couple minutes every day, it gives you kind of the highlights of what's going on in the world of nerdery. I kind of wish we had thought of it first, but you know, we're always late. We're like, let's start a podcast. That's new and cutting edge.
I don't know that we'd be able to do one every single day.
I could do it every day. I just talk about, you know, what I ate for lunch.
Oh.
Really exciting,
newsworthy
stuff.
What
I ate for lunch, like what I'm thinking about, like I'm tired. Yeah, my belly hurts.
200,000 hits. How did that happen?
This is amazing. I'm breaking the internet. No, but big thanks to Jessica for coming out, and that's about it. So you can find us, and that's at Nerd Appropriate. So please subscribe to our Twitter feed. We're on there all the time. You can email us directly, and that is Ash, Matt, and Hillary with one L at nerdappropriate.com.
And Scott at nerdappropriate.com.
Scott, did I forget you?
Yeah, you sure
I'm sorry. Did. I'm sorry. I was thinking ahead of what the Facebook link.
I am
what the Facebook link was. Always forget the Facebook link, so I was thinking of that.
I bet it's / nerdappropriate.
It is. You read my mind. So the Facebook link is / nerdappropriate. We're also hosting a pre-PAX gathering. This will be our fourth one, and this will come out right before that time. So if you go to NAPPP4.nerdappropriate.com, you can sign up for our Nerd Appropriate pre-PAX gathering, and that's just kind of a thing we've been doing before PAX every single year for the past couple years, and it's just a place to meet and hang out, get some drinks, get some food before PAX starts. And
it's low-key, it's super
really
chill, it's
have some music,
yeah, just a little music, people, little food, little fun, friends, hanging out, and then just getting geared up for the rest of the weekend.
Yep. So if you are going to PAX East, go ahead and sign up for that. We'd love to see you there. Mm-hmm. And let's see what else. I feel like there's something
next
big.
Week?
Oh, yeah. Next week. So next week, we're having Kelly Wallach back on the show. And we had Kelly on before. And she is the indie mega booth overlord. And she is a ton of fun. And she also, of course, is in charge of, or one of the people in charge of setting up the indie mega booth, which travels around to places like PAX and GDC. And so she'll be on our PAX-themed episode next week to talk about what's going on with the Indie Mega Booth at PAX this year. And it's kind of crazy. The list just got released today, and it's fucking gargantuan. So she'll have a lot to talk about, and we'll be talking a lot about indie games next week. So please tune in.
See you guys next week.
We love you. Here we go. In 5, 4. I like to do that just because it makes Matt so fucking angry.
You can actually do, I mean, you could do, I don't know why. I mean, I can punch it in anywhere, but you can go like 3, 2, 1 and then start talking again. But
yeah,
I, you know, whatever.
It, yeah. So in 5, 4,